Episode 269 of Way of the Warrior. It is Eric along with Ken, and this time around we will break down the fights that will happen this weekend on Fox Sports 1. We will talk to Ricardo Lamas, and we will talk about how Conor McGregor was able to kick Ronda Rousey out of the spotlight. All of it's next on Way of the Warrior. Yeah.
Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkerin, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And this was, we thought last week, Ken, was the crazy Conor McGregor-Jose Aldo show, but we had no idea that the world tour was going to end in such an insane fashion.
And again, we don't get the fight until what, June?
July 11th.
Oh, my God.
July 11th.
And I get it. They can't do this kind of thing when they're in camps. But, man, this is insane how much people want to see this fight now, and we have to wait till July.
Well, and what's really interesting, we're going to talk to Ricardo Lamas here in a minute, but what I think was really interesting is you essentially have a number one contenders match this weekend that nobody's talking about because we're talking about this thing that doesn't even happen till July. So Ricardo Lamas and Chad Mendes, one of those guys is going to face whoever these other two guys are.
You know, yeah, but that feels like forever away because right now the Conor fight and the Aldo fight is July, and there's so much can happen here. Like, really, we're going to diverge probably a little bit here because they kind of intertwine.
Sure.
Really, can you see the winner of Chad and Ricardo not having to fight again before they would get that title shot? I can't see them lasting that long because you're going to have to assume, okay.
Well, okay, let me phrase this. I guess put context to my point of view, and you can fill me. Mm-hmm. Like, both of these two guys at featherweight, their only losses are to Jose
mm-hmm.
Aldo.
Mm-hmm.
Ricardo's one loss
I'm
at featherweight is Jose Aldo. So,
yes.
Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe do they need to as far as getting money? Probably that's a thing. But I don't. As far as deserving it, no, I don't think they need to do anything else to deserve it.
Well, deserve it, and actually the execution, and when it comes down to the brass tacks here, it's going to be whether or not they have to fight, obviously, for the money is one reason. The other reason is I'm watching all of this, and we're obviously going to talk about the World Tour, and I'm seeing these two dudes go back and forth. I'm seeing Conor McGregor grab the belt out of Jose Aldo's hand. I mean, this has gotten insane. I mean, last week we had the Brazilians.
Sure.
Basically wishing death upon Conor, got him all ramped up. So now that he's back in the U.K., he feels empowered because everybody's screaming at Jose Aldo. I think he's in deep here. But let's say these guys go and have a war. They're not fighting each other again. Shut up. They're fighting each other again. If this goes over three or four rounds, they're fighting each other again the next time because that's your money fight.
Right.
And I don't care who wins.
Right.
As long as this doesn't go to a boring decision or a quick KO or sub, these two guys are still your money fight in UFC because they're the first money fight you've had at featherweight ever.
Yeah, well, and so my question I was excited to talk to you about today is two things. What were your thoughts on the grabbing the belt?
You're
a huge wrestling fan, so I'm interested in kind of the
here's where I am with that, because not only we had the grabbing of the belt, we had the alleged smack in Toronto last week.
The alleged smack.
And I get that you're hyping up the fights, and I get that that's all supposed to be part of it. I really think Dana White is way too enamored in these situations with all of the rowdiness and with everything that's happening.
Sure.
And like I said this on Twitter last week. I was finally catching up on some of those. If you would just want to replace MMA media with audience members in Brazil, and now I'll add the UK to that, asking questions instead of real media ever, go ahead, get rid of real media. I'd rather listen to these guys just scream and yell at the MMA guys and get answers that way than anything else, because it's been some of the most interesting stuff I've seen, but I'm also not sure that it's under control the way it should be. If this is all for the fight and this is pre-planned, cool, but I don't know if you grab the other guy's belt. We go back to Daniel Cormier and John Jones. How can you be that upset and that mad about it and let another guy slap another guy in the back, allegedly or not? How can you let another guy grab somebody's belt in that situation? He didn't grab it off the table, and he grabbed it from Jose Aldo.
Sure.
If you haven't seen the video,
yeah, no,
yet.
Across the podium from Jose Aldo. What I thought was interesting, and I know on Wednesday, Ariel Helwani was on Twitter just like engaging all of the trolls in this, but I thought his point of view was interesting, is that through this entire thing, Jose Aldo has been a pro. Mm-hmm. He's never really, regardless of if he's in his head, not in his head, whatever you want to say, he hasn't bit on any of these things. And I wonder, and I wanted to ask you, do you think that that Dublin specifically, the grabbing of the belt, was that for everybody else, the common man? Was that kind of the heel turn to turn Jose into the hero in this fight?
Not in the UK, not in Ireland.
No, but I mean, for everybody else watching.
And again,
it,
I know Connor will get mad if I keep saying UK, because they're, he gets mad.
Right. I mean, the average person that watches it on YouTube and goes, man, that's terrible. You should never grab the belt.
Do you really think that's the case? You've watched enough wrestling to know that the heels are always the most popular, coolest guys in the room. Now, and that's what's happening with the, I guess you could even say there's a more casual MMA fan than I am in this regard. Because I'm looking at it and I'm going, look, this is fun and all, but is this going too far here? Is this too much, the guy's grabbing the belt? Is this too, does it make me want to spend money on the fight? Sure. But I'm also looking at it like, are we going to be part of the WWE at some point?
Right.
If you want to sell fights like that, fine. You're going to have a lot of people pissed, though, because, I mean, we'll go to this later. But you saw what happened when Ronda got in the ring at WrestleMania. First comment on our page, just noting what happened. What is she even doing there? And there was somebody very angry about it. And I know you mentioned Ariel Helwani. He kind of pointed out this weird dichotomy that seems to be this MMA purist fan. And then most of us who probably watch wrestling when we grow up. And maybe we still watch it. And we understand it's not, quote unquote, real. But those guys are doing death-defying tricks every night that they go out and perform. And we like it. We can still like this, too. And there's always that weird subsection of MMA fan that is way too defensive. I don't understand why they're as defensive as they are about it. He had 70,000 people chanting Ronda Rousey's name. If you do the math, she's got to go to 3 UFC events for that to happen.
You've got, and I guess we can, this will be a great transition here for a second, you know, because I totally agree with you. I bought the network on Sunday because I wanted to watch Sting and Triple H.
Was it your fault mine froze up?
I was the reason I crashed the network because I was they could do 1.4 million people, but 1.4.00001, that was what put it over the edge. But even if you're an MMA purist, I feel that, and I am not, so don't send me hate mail. I watched the WWE all the way through the 90s. I really enjoyed this past weekend a lot more than I thought I would. I've been using the network on and off all week. But I feel that there is one day a year that everybody's guard goes down and they just want to enjoy something, and it's certainly WrestleMania.
Well,
and
I think SportsCenter was running clips that night.
I think WrestleMania was done brilliantly, and if you were somebody who tuned in for the first time or hadn't tuned in since 1996, I think you walked away really, really happy with what they put on. To your point, though, there's 1.4 million people on the app watching it. There's 70,000 people in the venue watching it. How many events does Ronda Rousey have to do 2 million people, Ken?
That's a lot of events. That's a lot of events,
right?
Even for her. And that's what's interesting about this whole thing, because you've got to wonder, because this was all approved by the UFC, and we'll get into that later, whether or not Ronda's staying or going and what she's saying and what I believe. But when you look at that and you see that happen Sunday, you got to wonder how much that plays in the fact that Dana White's sitting there tweeting about watching Ronda at WrestleMania, seeing all these
things
go on.
Stealing it illegally, by the way.
He wasn't on the network where he was?
I don't know. It just looked very weird. Like, he's got a laptop on a pillow.
If
like,
he was stealing it, then I need his feed, because I had the network feed and the damn thing was frozen half the night. But you've got to wonder, when Dana watches that, is he going to let things go? Is he going to? I mean, is this the future of promoting these fights? I mean, obviously Conor McGregor's a unique personality. I mean, he's a guy that, like I said, before any of these world tour stops happened, he was talking a lot and he had me interested in the fight. Okay, I want to see. Again, I think he's out of his depth. I know Sean Desai, he thinks he's out of his league too, and he's kind of he's talking his way into the division and into that title fight, but maybe necessarily shouldn't be there. Fine, I don't care. I'm going to pay for the fight. But you got to wonder how much this is influencing these type of things, because the interesting thing about watching some of these subsection of MMA fans, and again, I'm not trying to point at anybody or call them out, but there's some dudes that love this that will get super pissed when you bring up the fact that Ronda Rousey was in a WWE ring on Sunday night.
Well, yeah, and if you want to take...
How does that line up in your head?
But take it one step further. Are those same people pissed that she's in Furious 7? What's the difference? There's a lot more people on Earth that will see Furious 7 than will watch her next fight in the UFC.
Well, let's calm down.
You don't think? I mean, I assure
you, Fury 7 is going to do well.
You know, it's going to do very, very well.
We'll leave that elephant in the room on why it's doing
regardless
well.
Regardless of why.
I don't need those tweets again.
So, but my point is, even if you want to get away from the wrestling argument, are we mad if she ends up on Saturday Night Live to do skits to promote Furious 7 or her next fight? Is that, are we mad about that? Are we holding a grudge from the Gina Carano effect that this is clearly born out of?
And this wouldn't exist without Gina Carano.
There's that too. But I don't know, even if you are an MMA purist, I don't know how you don't understand that WrestleMania is different than Raw.
Mm-hmm. Well, the interesting thing about Raw is you had that Rena was chanting her name and she wasn't even there. So,
but you get what I'm saying. Like, okay, how about SmackDown? Like, it's different than a
Sports
TV
Center.
Show or SportsCenter,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't get it, but they're clearly out there, people that are mad about it. I think we've got this weird subset, and everybody who downloads and listens to this, I think we've got almost like-minded people on occasion. And I think we've got a certain set that can appreciate both. I mean, you'll see on the Way of the Warrior page, we'll put up some wrestling posts here and there. And obviously a lot of that has to do with Brock.
Sure.
And that's going to have to tie in more with what we think Ronda may or may not do in the future. But it's part of this game. It's part of the pay-per-view. Vince and Dana, they've talked quite a few times in the past. Dana's made it clear he loves what the WWE does in most regards. Clearly, Fight Pass and UFC Network, he's looking at that. I mean, I think we'd all love for him to take that one step that WWE's taken. But, I mean, the guys over at WWE had bigger balls in this regard.
You're
they've
talking
put their
about
pay-per-views
the pay-per-view, yes.
On their app. And, again, they're losing their ass on some of it right now because they can't – I would have paid $65 for non-freezing product. But nobody's spending $65 on the pay-per-view when they can get it for $9.99 a month. The key here is to keep everybody for $9.99 a month. And what you look at with some like you just started using the network. You've used it a couple times. I know you've had UFC Fight Pass.
I still do, yeah.
How often do you actually watch it, though?
So I'm trying to do it more, but here's my problem with Fight Pass. And I know for those of you who are listening to the podcast, this is kind of all over the place, but I promise we'll talk about fights, and I promise we'll
talk. Well, this all kind of comes together, though, when you talk about the fighting and the people pissed about the wrestling and Conor McGregor acting entirely like a pro wrestler would act, but people love that.
Yes. Well, it's because he's Irish.
That too.
If Ronda Rousey and Sheamus were...
Are you sure he's from Ireland?
I don't know. He doesn't talk about it enough. But to answer your question, Fight Pass. Do I use it? I've been more intentional about using it for things other than the Nevada Athletic Commission having meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I would use it all of the time if you would put it on an effing TV screen. Like, why is it not on
it's
Xbox?
It's not on Xbox?
No.
Oh, so it's not on PS3 either, or PS4. That's not just me.
Right. So, like, put it on a TV screen and I'll use it all the time. But right now, I don't consume a lot of media that way on mm-hmm. my phone or tablet.
Right.
I don't, you know, I'm not a guy who sits in bed and watches.
I still want to see it on the TV. That's where I am too. And I think you and I are probably on that upper end of that
sure.
demo we're going at.
Yeah. I get it.
So clearly there's a lower end that will sit there and watch it on their laptop, but there's also people that want to watch it with their buddies or they want to watch.
This is what I'm saying.
And here's where I'm going to talk about it too, where we go back to the wrestling. That next generation of viewers, you know, that younger than, you know, high school, college age kid, they're still watching big TVs.
Mm-hmm.
My son wanted to see the Brock Lesnar fights. All right, let's watch it. Oh, wait, come over here. Okay, where's the HDMI cable?
Right.
Okay, where's the – you know what? He's done with it. So he'll be into it in the future, I'm sure. But right now, as far as he's concerned, it's sort of boring. And I get it. You know, six-year-olds aren't usually into the intricacies of a submission fighting game.
Fighting? Yeah,
right,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to go throw a Hardy off the top of a cage.
Right.
He'll watch that.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the genesis of how a lot of this starts. It's certainly a barrier to entry at this point that I can't still get it through some of my gaming systems. And, yes, I know there's Roku out there. I think – can you get it on – you can't get it on your Apple TV? Is that what you've got or not?
I don't have Apple TV.
Oh,
no.
Okay. See, that's interesting. And I'm just going to point this out because you've got a ton of Apple products.
Sure.
But you've got other things, so you didn't feel the need to get an Apple TV.
I haven't yet. I mean, you know, again, this is a bit off topic, but we've had enough discussions about cutting the cord. And my thing is, with this show specifically, I haven't figured out a way to consume all of it without having to...
You mean Fight Pass?
Correct.
Right.
Like, not everything ends up on Fight Pass, so therefore, being a part of Fight Pass, I still need Fox Sports 1 and I still need Fox in order to watch half of the product. So in order to do this, I need to be connected. Now, if Fight Pass wanted to go to $12 a month
mm-hmm.
and give me everything, I would do that. But you still need to put it on a TV because I still want people to come over and enjoy the product with me. That's the purpose, I think.
Well, that's an interesting dynamic with this entire setup if we're going to talk a little bit about what is here on the WWE Network and what is here on Fight Pass. And one of those interesting dynamics is obviously the Fox deal that we were all praising a couple years ago has handcuffed them obviously a little bit here.
Sure.
Basically what you have with WWE, just to simplify it, they can't put their TV shows on their device either, on their app either. So, but you know going in, I don't get Raw or SmackDown. But I get everything else. With UFC, it's a lot different. Sometimes FS1 stuff can be on there later.
Right.
Sometimes this can be on there later. Once we've got a 90-day period, you can watch a fight. Once we've rerun it this way, you can do it. Oh, and you don't get the pay-per-views. So, again, I love it. It's only $9.99 for UFC Fight Pass. It's worth it to me to keep it. But there's sometimes I don't use it. And if I really evaluated it, I'd probably get rid of it and pick it up here and there. I'm just – they're counting on me. I'm
right.
like the guy that buys the gym membership that never uses it.
That never uses it, yeah.
But you just keep billing me, and you don't bill me too much, so I'm not going to notice it yet. So this all comes together in this sporadic kind of train of thought process here all the way back to Conor McGregor. So him grabbing the belt, perfect for what they're trying to do. But there's going to be some people that – love this, that are apparently pissed about other things like Ronda Rousey. And you got to look at a guy like Conor McGregor. And this is what I'm looking at now. After I saw Ronda at WrestleMania,
yep.
I'm looking ahead now. Okay, who's the next dude that's going to want to do this?
Conor McGregor
is a guy that would want to do this.
Yep.
Again, they're not all going to get the Brock Lesnar push. But you've got to, if you're Dana White, you admire Vince McMahon, but you're going to look at some of these dudes and they're going to want to go for an easier schedule if they can. Again, I'm going to go back to the fact, pro wrestling, full-time schedule, much harder than a full-time MMA schedule. The guys will admit it that have done both.
Sure.
You know, Josh Barnett says that every time, you know, he's asked about it because he's probably the guy that's done the most of both.
Yeah, I would say he's certainly the guy that's lived in both worlds.
You know, Brock Lesnar schedule, Ronda Rousey schedule, a lot easier. I think. So that's what's interesting to kind of look at with all these guys and see the antics and see what's happening. I'm still a little frustrated that this fight isn't until July. I'm going to buy it. But again, it's drowning out everything else that happened. Go back to the Chad Mendes. I had to look at the sheet. Llamas fight.
Which
could be the number one contender.
Which is tomorrow, right? So, yeah, I mean, it drowns all that stuff out. And then you ask yourself, you've done all of this stuff. And this stuff ended on March 31st, right? Is when the last embedded ends up. Out.
Oh, is that it?
What are you doing now to keep? So this week we'll talk about the belt.
Maybe they're done. But if you're done, and we'll still buy it. Just got to kind of remind us.
Yeah,
later.
They're done. But isn't it weird from a marketing perspective or a fan perspective or a casual fan perspective to ramp the car all the way up to as fast as it will go and then just turn it off?
That is weird. And we asked last week on the show because we're kind of curious. Like, what is the plan? Is the plan, well, I guess we can only do it. And it could be as simple as timing. The guys are in camps. So we can't
right.
do this when they're in camp. So we got to do it before camp. Sorry. You can't really do this after camps either. We'll get a little bit of pub the week of, obviously, because those guys slow way down. But otherwise, you can't do this. So, I mean, this could just be an unfortunate effect of timing that we just kind of will complain about but have to live with. Because, I mean, we are getting to the point if that fight's in July. These guys are going to be going into their camps. So how come we're not sticking with them, though, with embedded into the camps?
I don't know the answer to that. My guess would be because we have John Jones and Anthony Johnson and Weidman and Belfort. And, you know, we've got like a million things between now and then that they probably need to turn an eye to and not just focus on this thing. Although there should be some remnant of it, in my opinion. I don't know if they just do one a week where they're checking you. I don't know what it would be like. But it would be weird to me if it just goes dark and we wait till, you know, the end of June to start seeing it again.
Well, and the more we've had offline conversations about it, too, I mean, the more I think it's just the timing. I just think
right.
that's just does it. These have always been happening. They just haven't been as eventful as right. they have been in the past two weeks.
That's for sure. All right. And so this weekend, we head to Fairfax, where Fox Sports 1, you'll see Chad Mendes and Ricardo Lamas. Ricardo will join us in a couple minutes to talk about his fight with Chad Mendes. And one of the things he will say that's the most interesting is that it has not been named the number one contenders match. And a lot of that might lean towards Ken's philosophy that if this fight between Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo lives up to 1% of its hype, that they'll want to do an immediate rematch. So these two might not, whoever wins this, Chad or Ricardo, might not get that title shot till 2016.
So April, May. I mean, that's easy because six-month window there.
You would see that if you're right, you'll see that rematch New Year's Eve
is probably where we can put it. Man,
right.
how exciting would it be after the year and a half, the 18 to 24 months the UFC's had, if they could look at a New Year's Eve card and go, hey, we can headline that with the featherweights.
Right.
That would be amazing.
They would be totally into that. The co-main event on Saturday night, Jorge Masvidal taking on Al Iaquinta. Al Iaquinta, who's been on quite the tear, talking about Jorge, being not as hungry as he is. So looks to get past Jorge Masvidal, and that will be a very fun co-main event. Mike Chiesa shows up against Mitch Clark. Clay Guida on the card, taking on Robbie Peralta. That'll be a fun fight. Clay,
I forgot about that.
Clay always brings the heat. Dustin Poirier debuting at a new weight class, taking on Fiera. And what's interesting is on the lower card, on the prelims, you will see Gray Maynard back in the mix, who is currently 1-4 in his last five UFC fights. Back, but he's back now for this fight with Extreme Couture, and we'll see if he can get his career back on track. Or he says his chin is fine. The last four fights, he's been knocked out. I don't know that that's necessarily a fact. That'll be an interesting fight to watch in the prelims. But if you're one of the people that thinks, well, in the last however many months, where's Gray Maynard been? Well, he's been reinventing himself and going back to Extreme Couture, and hopefully that bears some fruit for him. But there is a fight this weekend. Fox Sports 1. The main event, Chad Mendes, Ricardo Lamas. Like I said, we'll talk to Ricardo in a second.
Don't forget about this one. We've got the opposite issue we noticed a couple weeks ago with the 10 p.m. Eastern starts. Oh, this is a 1 p.m. Eastern start.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So to let people, that's probably a DVR thing. Saturday, 1 o'clock Easter weekend. I'm sure you're free.
Right. Clearly. Everybody. Yeah. Who isn't free? So that is this weekend.
Hey, everybody. Meet us at the bar.
You can catch that. And all of the results will be on Way of the Warrior at WOW Show. When we come back, though, we'll talk to Ricardo Lamas about his fight, about what he likes to eat when the fight is over, because Conor McGregor thinks he's fat. And all of that is next on Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Yeah, yeah. And yo, Black, it's time.
Word.
It's time. It's time, man.
All right,
man. Again.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. This weekend, we head to Fox Sports 1 as Chad Mendes is taking on our next guest, The Bully. Ricardo Lamas joins us. Ricardo, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. First, I want to apologize on behalf of the rest of the media. I can imagine this has probably been one of the not most enjoyable media weeks for you to do, because I'm guessing every third question is about you and every other question is about Conor McGregor.
Yeah, it sounds about right, but it's all right, man. It's part of the job.
But very exciting. You know, it is part of the job, and, you know, I would say the plus side, I know your thoughts on Conor based on what you've said online and the videos and stuff, but I would say the plus side for what insanity is going on over there is it sheds a light on this weight class that is super exciting and I hope brings a spotlight to what's happening on Saturday night, because this is a fan fight that I think anybody who's been following MMA for any minute would love to see you two go at it. Now we get Chad Mendes and Ricardo Lamas going at it Saturday night on Fox Sports 1. How excited are you for this bout?
I'm really excited. You know, Chad is a quality opponent. He's one of the best in the division. And I'm the type of fighter that kind of rises to my opponent's level. So, you know, I think Chad is going to bring the best out of me, and I think I'm going to bring the best out of him. So, you know, you're going to get two hard-nosed guys in the octagon together flashing heads, and I think it's going to make for a really exciting fight.
Well, and, you know, we play a game here on the show that we call MMA math, where if this happened and that happened, therefore this other thing happened. And from an MMA math perspective, you two both coming off decision losses to Jose Aldo, so you know, he obviously got better in his second fight against Jose Aldo. He figured something out. You've been talking about how, you know, you put a lot of stress on yourself heading into this bout, and you've changed a lot of things, and your head is clearer. This, I cannot wait to see you two get in the octagon. But the question I have is your camaraderie. You guys have been kind of palling around and doing some funny things together, and it's much different than what's happening on the other side of the coast right now. But my question is that how you are you a fighter's fighter in the fact that, like, you would just go in and do the job and you don't really want to deal with the wrestling BS? And I don't mean wrestling like NCAA wrestling. I mean, like, the pro wrestling hyperbole that's happening between Conor and Jose Aldo. Would you rather just do the fight and have fun heading up to media, or does the anger help you at all?
No, you know, if there's a natural dislike towards my opponent, I'm not going to hide that. But if there isn't, I'm not going to fake it. You know what I mean? Chad is he's just a good guy. He's a nice guy, and we're just cordial around each other. You know, we're not like best friends.
Right.
We understand that this is a business and we're going to have to be around each other. So there's no sense in being an asshole or anything like that. You know, this is part of the job. You know, when we get in the cage, there'll be plenty of time to be an asshole to each other. But right now we're just being cordial. We're trying to be professional. But if I was doing this with somebody I didn't like and they were constantly, you know, in my face or whatever, or doing things, you'd see a completely different side of me.
So the other thing that people have obviously
been... I'm not a guy that wants to fake a grudge or something like that, you know what I mean, for no apparent reason at all. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Do you think that that's kind of been an unintended consequence of what's been happening with the sheer number of bouts that are coming up and the way in which some people are getting title shots is from that sort of trumped up hyperbole? Is that damaging to the sport, or do you feel that that's just part of the business and one that you don't want to take part in?
You know, when it comes down to any fight business, there's going to be trash talking. Just some guys have attitudes like that, and it's just part of the sport. I wouldn't say it's good or bad to the sport, but, you know, it's just sometimes guys can be a little too disrespectful and say things that maybe shouldn't be said, and that part I don't think is good for the sport and, you know, good for, you know, we're supposed to be role models for kids and stuff like that. There are a lot of kids that look up to us, so I just wouldn't agree with some stuff that's said.
Ricardo Lamas joining us. He's going to be taking on Chad Mendes Saturday night on Fox Sports 1. You've been doing some media all week leading up to this fight, and one of the questions was about Conor calling you fat, and you kind of laughed it off. But you said, you know, when you don't fight, you like to eat. I'm a Chicago guy. You're a Chicago guy. So, you know, you get done Saturday night, your hand gets raised. What are the things that you're looking to eat in that next week or so, assuming you don't get the Josh Koscheck deal and have to fight in 21 days?
Oh, man, well, pizza is always at the top of the list. And coming from Chicago, we got a ton of great pizza spots. And during weigh-ins, or pretty much when I'm cutting weight, you know, the last couple of weeks of my camp, I like to torture myself and go online and on YouTube. And there's this show called Chicago's Best. And you just type in Chicago's Best, and then whatever food you like barbecue or Italian or whatever. And, like, this show has gone to, like, places all over Chicago, and they, like, you know, cook dishes and show you all the stuff. So I literally, like, put lists together, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to all these places. I can't – it's so bad, but I can't stop myself. I have to do it to myself.
I can just picture you in a hotel room crying somewhere watching about Chicago pizza or Chicago barbecue.
No, it's more like – it's like if somebody walks in, I, like, shut it real fast, like I'm looking at pornography. I'm like, no, it's just food.
Very funny. Let's talk about the weight cut. You said earlier this week that you usually walk around at 175. What is this process like? I'm endlessly fascinated as you're seeing more and more fighters kind of struggle with those large drops from, you know, whatever, 75 to 45 or 205 to 55. You know, what's the weight cut process like for you, and do you enjoy that as with a wrestling background, or it doesn't bother you? What's it like for you?
It sucks, man. You know, you have to be very strict on your diet, and you have to put in the work. And my natural body weight, like, if I'm in shape walking around, it's probably low 60s. So to really get down, I really have to put in a ton of cardio work. Like, I do cardio 2 times a day, apart from the 2 classes I'm doing a day with my team and, like, my conditioning. So I'm putting in a lot of work to burn a lot of calories in order to get down low enough to where I could have, you know, a healthy cut come fight week. And, you know, it just sucks. You have to put in the work, but, you know, on the plus hand, I come in more in shape, and, you know, I just have a bigger gas tank because of it.
There isn't really a shortage of gas tanks at featherweight, but you certainly have one of the bigger ones. Ricardo Lamas joining us Saturday night, Fox Sports 1, taking on Chad Mendes. You said something interesting, and I'll leave it at this because I just think it's interesting. Has this not been notified as a number one contenders match? You said it should be. Is it the number one contenders match?
You know, nobody's told us that it is, but I don't see how it couldn't be. I mean, my only loss in featherweight division is to Aldo. Chad's only losses in the featherweight division are to Aldo. I just picked off a guy on a 7-fight run. So, you know, this should definitely be the number one contender fight.
I'm so excited for Saturday night. Best of luck to you, my friend. If people want to talk to you on social, what's your favorite platform? Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Yik Yak? What do you like to do?
Twitter and Instagram, yes. You can find me. My handle is @RicardoLamasMMA.
All right, my friend. Have an awesome week. Enjoy the rest of media. I promised I would keep the Connor questions to a bare minimum, so I hope I did that. Have an awesome weekend. We'll talk to you when you get back.
All right, man. It was great. Thanks a lot for having me.
And there he goes, Ricardo Lamas. Good luck this weekend as he takes on Chad Mendes. And Ken alluded a little bit in the first segment about Ronda Rousey. And a lot of people...
A little bit.
Or a lot. A lot of people, when the WrestleMania 32 promo started running inside WrestleMania 31, there was a text in the middle of the promo that said it's rowdier than the one that we're currently watching.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
So a lot of people are running around thinking that Ronda Rousey is clearly going to be part of WrestleMania 32. Management has come out and said, no, this is one and done for Furious 7, not really a thing.
Now, I'd have to look, just because it ties directly into how you said that. I'd have to look, but I thought what we've heard from management, there's no plans for this year. What?
Oh, is that what it was?
I thought
that
that's what I had heard. Let me try to find that statement. There's nothing left for the year, which puts us into next year,
right?
Which puts us back into WrestleMania.
So I was talking to a friend who's really into wrestling, not so much into UFC, but clearly knows who Ronda Rousey is. And, you know, he was wondering why it wasn't as physical. And I was explaining, well, she's got a fight coming up, so she's clearly not going to be bumping all over the place. But if the scheduling's right, Ken, this could be an actual – I mean – I don't know if Stephanie McMahon's the person that wrestles her, but she could actually do a match.
She's
maybe
done that before. Well, Stephanie has before.
No, I know Stephanie has, but like what you said you had a plan for Ronda. Did you see her in an actual match or more of this?
I see Ronda Rousey, she's got one of the few cards there is in the WWE for the deal that Brock has. She's got the Brock deal, basically, probably waiting for her at some point.
Sure.
She'll have to be a little busier to start if she wanted to take that deal. But she's got a – she's clearly I think even the WWE was surprised by that reaction. I mean, it's not often you get somebody into that ring that's standing next to The Rock that is outshining The Rock.
Sure.
And that's essentially what it was. And he joked about it that I was basically setting her up. But he was backstage taking pictures with her camera. She was giving him her camera. Hey, take a picture of me with Paige. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of people with that star power. And I was honestly taken aback. I didn't know she was going to be involved. I knew she'd probably be there. She shows up actually at a lot of these shows in California. I didn't know she was going to be involved. And when she was, and the crowd popped, and they knew exactly who she was. I mean, think about it.
And what she was good at, right? As soon as she grabs the arm, they go nuts.
Well, she hip-tossed Triple H, for those of you that didn't watch. And then basically she did a standing arm lock. One of the most boring things you can actually look at in professional wrestling or even MMA. It's just a standing arm lock. And that crowd was going entirely crazy during that. So she's certainly got something that she could look at the WWE and go, hey, you want to make women's division something that's real? You could probably give her a Brock type of schedule. And you've got to wonder, because tie this all into the numerous discussions we've had about her wiping out the division.
Right.
And every time that she has a fight, we have to pretend that that person could win.
Right.
I mean, that's what we're doing right now with Betch.
Korea, yeah.
What are we calling her? Betch now? I don't know. It feels like everybody's trying to call her a name when they pronounce her name correctly.
Yes.
So I don't want to do that. But they were there at the Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo presser in Brazil, too. And we're kind of building this up. Oh, they're in Brazil. She might lose. No, she's probably not going to lose. So if she keeps doing this, and I guess if she doesn't get hurt or anything like that, she's got no reason to leave the UFC. But I think she certainly ends up in that WWE ring at some point in her career. Do you disagree?
No, not at all. I'm looking off into space thinking of the timing. So I'm thinking to myself, how serious is she about this career path? And, you know, if she blows through Beth Korea at UFC 190 and then she gets the Cyborg deal in early 2016, February-ish, and she blows by Cyborg, is that when she just goes, look, like, for real? There's nothing left for me to do.
She has says, and this applies to wrestling in the same way, I'm sure. She says she doesn't move fights for movies. She moves movies for fights. That's what she is. She's a fighter. That's basically been her statement this week because everybody's asking this question. I just look at the situation and have to wonder, if you're not going to steal another fighter here at some point. Well, WWE has made it clear, because I didn't think they had the money, especially after Lorenzo calls Brock up and doubles his offer.
Doubles it, yeah.
I didn't think they necessarily had the money, because they're in a little bit of a tight spot with the network. They backed that up. That's their own entity, so they are covering all the costs there. They are charging $9.99 a month for their pay-per-views. I didn't know what kind of money they had. Like, could you really compete with a UFC that really wants a fighter? I think UFC wanted Brock probably more than they wanted any fighter in a long time, because that is a guaranteed million-dollar pay-per-view guy.
Yep.
And they weren't able to outbid and outmaneuver what the WWE was offering. Would they be able to do it with Ronda? I think even less so than with Brock, because she's great. She's hugely popular. But even with MMA fans, she's not popped more than a million, and she may not. She may, but until there's real competition there, that's going to make that tougher. Like, I think 500,000, 600,000 people will tune in to watch Ronda Rousey fight.
Sure. Well, and I think part of that, Ken, comes from Frank Mir winning that fight the first time, mm-hmm. but being destroyed in the process, right? So when you tune in for the rematch, you're like, well, I mean, he was annihilating him, and he didn't know what a leg lock was.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just pretend he didn't lose, because he was pounding Frank Mir into oblivion before that happens. So I think there's some luster there that you wanted to see the monster fight again, because every once in a while Frankenstein gets defeated, even in mm-hmm. movies. So with Ronda, you're absolutely right. I'm wondering if she's not getting the buys at that level because there is no luster, right? We're amazed and we want to see it because it's 14 seconds and she rips an arm off, but there really hasn't been anybody, and I don't even know that Cyborg is going to be the one to be the foil that gets
Cyborg's still got to make the weight, which he has
regardless
to do with the new deal.
But I'm saying, I don't even know that casual fans will be like, I'm super excited about this in the way that they were excited about Brock Lesnar and Randy Couture.
Yeah, that was an amazing one-time thing because of the players involved. I mean, if you want to talk about the situation, I mean, everything lined up for Brock. So you're going to have to imagine at this point that WWE would look at Ronda and go, hey, you know what? We've got our women's Brock. They don't have that right now. And that's the only other thing that they're kind of missing as far as their MMA guy. Because what they can't do, not to get too far into what WWE is doing, Brock gets his own special class, essentially.
Sure.
Not only in his part-time dates and his part-time schedule, but basically if you miss WrestleMania, they basically had to throw three guys into the ring so Brock gets beat. And that's part of his aura. That's why I said last week there's no way WWE lets him ever do a split schedule. UFC is more likely to let somebody do a split wrestling schedule than Vince would be for him to do that schedule, because you lose the aura if he goes in, gets punched in the tummy and cries.
Right. Well, and the other thing that I think makes this an interesting discussion is when you alluded to it in segment one, when you show up at Raw on Monday night and they're chanting Ronda's going to kill you, and Ronda isn't even there.
She's not even in the building.
She's not in the building, and she was on stage for 6 minutes the night before. It wasn't like that there was a big lead up to this feud. It's just that
no, they didn't have music for her. They didn't I don't even think they said her name other than when they were talking back and forth. Like, they didn't say, I'm going to bring Ronda. No, they brought her in, and the crowd went insane. And those are things that all the things we know about the wrestling business, and a lot of it's been pulled back the past couple years. You know, stars make that business, and she is a star right now, and she's somebody that is a star for the UFC. But is that always going to be the case? I don't think so.
Well, and I think if she clears out the division, and I think the amount of people in Hollywood that want to get a hold of her, you're seeing not necessarily what I would call the Brock Lesnar deal, because that's, I think you're right, that's its own entity. There's really nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're seeing an inverted Rock. So leaving the UFC to go do WWE because the schedule would be better,
mm-hmm.
the damage would be less, the storylines would make it so you could have some tension that isn't right now in the UFC because she's waxing everybody, and would allow her to do the films.
And that was another point I wanted to bring up too, is right now she moves movies for fighting, but at a certain point you have to look, and for anything you want to say about The Rock, the guy's been in some pretty big movies,
mm-hmm.
whether he's been acting in movies like Get Shorty or he's just been shooting guns like in the Furious movies. Guy's had some pretty big roles. If that's something she's looking at, which all fighters have to look at, what's your post-fight career? You know, if she wants to be out of the seventh slot on the Expendables, which is great for her. And I know she's making an appearance in the Furious movie, so people are going to go, but she's in that movie. I get that. But if you really want to look at the opportunities there, you're going to see those. WWE has their own film production company. She could be a star of a film as soon as she signs.
I mean,
I'm not saying it's going to be the best film in the world.
Well, but I'm a...
But it would be hers.
To feed into that, I'm a huge fan of horror movies. And WWE has... The film part of WWE has made some pretty decent film movies and even made an interesting film with the dude who plays Kane as the villain in the film, right? So it's not like they're just making movies. They have a team of people that know how to do this and even make people that probably shouldn't be in a movie palatable in said movie. That's not to say that she's not palatable. I mean, she's in Entourage. She's in Furious. She's been in Expendables.
She's doing fine. Don't take that away from this conversation.
But you're absolutely right. She needs... she needs to step up in competition, so to speak, to get her own platform, because she's not taking things that Carano took to, like, get in Tripwire or Haywire or whatever that terrible movie was called that...
Hey, you calm down.
...that she starred in. Rhonda's being a little bit more tactical in that, but eventually we'll need that spotlight so that she's the star or the co-star or whatever that has a platform that isn't just, as you said, an appearance.
And as I mentioned earlier, I wanted to clarify the statements essentially that she's gotten from her agents. And I love that her agent is with William Morris.
Right.
So that should tell you where she thinks her career should be.
William Morris
should be
huge in the UFC. They're really great in, they've got a lot of mixed martial arts fighters under their roster.
So
like
Helling's
Ronda Rousey. And
there you go.
Ronda Rousey.
I think maybe a big country might be with Dwayne
The Rock Johnson is also in William Morris.
That's true. I forgot about that. Her agent Brad Slater from William Morris telling Fox Sports and UFC Tonight that this was a one-shot deal and the UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion isn't scheduled to appear on WWE programming again this year. If that's not a loaded quote... I don't know what is.
It's two things.
She's good for the next 8 months.
It's a loaded quote. And
she's not scheduled either.
It's a loaded quote. And if you're looking for an agent, you better be calling William Morris because those are the guys you want doing that sort of stuff.
So she's not scheduled, which means she could still show up next week if she wanted to.
You never know.
But we're even going to say that only for this year.
Right, for sure. Other couple pieces of note before we break out of here for the week and continue to think about Ronda Rousey in the WWE. Fabricio Werdum, I thought this was interesting, says he wants to fight three or four more times and then he wants to just commentate full time. So regardless of what happens between he and Kane, if that ends up being a trilogy, that would eat two more of these three or four fights, and he would have essentially have one more fight and then be done with it and kind of do the commentating thing. And on the flip side to that, Dan Hardy, says, "Hey, I'm really pining to just do one or two more. I've been talking to Dana. He's telling me that the UK commentating gig, which I think he's great at, is kind of his thing. And he's like, well, I want to do one or two more."
And I imagine Fabricio would probably be looking at a Brazilian thing,
Brazilian or something like that over there. But Hardy says he would love, even if it's just one, he'd love Koscheck. If it's two, he'd like Diego and Koscheck, which I think are two really interesting choices.
He doesn't like the Ultimate Fighter, apparently.
Right. He wants to fight all of them. He wants them to bring Lieben back so he could fight Lieben too. I'm kidding.
Would it be wrong to say, I'd watch all three of those fights.
I would watch all three of those fights.
I'm not going to lie.
I don't know that they're going to let him do that. I mean, if he gets medically cleared, that might be a thing. But Dana's probably right. His place is now in the commentating space. And again, to go back to what we were talking about all through this, Dan Hardy is one of the guys, Dominic Cruz, a guy, Brian Stann, a guy, DC, a guy, that clearly understand that there's an end game. Bisbing, another guy, that are doing other things so that when this dries up, that you don't end up being, and this is not me crying for this particular individual, but you don't end up being George St. Pierre, right, who walks away from the business. Dana spends once or twice every 3 months saying he's never coming back. He's lost his hunger like he did this week. And George has to respond and says he's still thinking about it, which is hyperbole for just stop talking about me and let me do my thing. But George, regardless of what he ends up doing, if he ends up doing more...
Yeah, but he's fine.
He's totally fine. But what I'm saying is, if you're not George and that happens to you...
You're Ken Shamrock. You're clinging on and you're fighting Kimbo again
in June.
Who's promoting that?
That's Bellator, son.
Is that Bellator?
That's Bellator, son.
I get it. That's their gimmick at this point. some of that stuff.
Yes.
Like Rampage is gone. Get Ken Shamrock
on the phone. They have a weight class called People Who Fought Seth Petruzzelli.
Oh, my God. That's... Again, I'm going to watch it. But yeah, you don't want
to. But you don't want to be that. Like, right. Like you said, George is fine. He can do whatever. He's traveling the world and training.
And DC, you know, he's got a plan. He's got the broadcasting thing. I think he's not. We're hitting this hard this week, so whatever.
Right.
He's another dark horse for WWE. Did you see his tweets from?
He'd be great.
He was at WrestleMania.
He'd be great.
I think he just bought his way in, too. Like, I think he could have got better seats if he would have just told somebody.
Right, yeah.
Like, he was losing it. Like, somebody was tweeting out pictures when Ronda was in the ring. He's up there. He's just losing it. He was having a great time.
I think the only guy that I would love to see more than DC would be Sonnen. I mean, Chael would be terrific. And
yeah, I think if he hasn't done it at this point, though, you got to wonder.
Sure. I mean,
maybe he's waiting out a suspension. He might have that one last little bit of a run. That I don't know if I'm looking forward to or not.
Yeah, I mean, there's something, so whatever that is, but he's another guy. But, yeah, DC would certainly be a guy.
This is all we're doing on the show now. We're just going to fantasy book WWE.
You know, this is the week that we can do that, and then we stop talking about wrestling. You know, but there was such a crossover this weekend between Brock and Ronda and The Rock. Like, it just seemed natural that we could talk about that. And then also, it was brought up this week that Todd Duffy and Frank Mir, that has been booked, and they're looking at a date this summer.
Is there anybody more disappointed than Lorenzo Fertitta and Dana White about the Brock signing with WWE than Mir? Because I think that's why we didn't hear anything about a Frank Mir fight until now.
Right. Well, because he clearly wanted to do that trilogy. The trilogy on New Year's Eve, and that would have been huge. So, yeah, I mean, it would be Lorenzo, Dana White, clearly Frank Mir.
Because, I mean, is there a bigger drop? I'm not trying to take anything away from Todd Duffy, but I mean a bigger drop on where your perceived value is on the card.
In money fights, no, there isn't. From Brock Lesnar to Todd Duffy, no, there isn't a bigger drop.
Like, that was some houses and some retirement. For sure. Frank Mir, man, if he could. You think he was on the phone with Brock?
Right. Come on, man, one more time. But so on that note, not that they're the same people, but they're, you know, of the same age. What is, have you heard anything with the Phil Baroni story that was bubbling up on Saturday?
No.
Okay, so he was at WrestleMania and he was tweeting that he was talking to the WWE. And I haven't seen anything this week that he got signed or they picked him up or anything like that. Interest in seeing him?
See, I just have to wonder. Some of these guys are now looking at Brock and thinking they just go in
there
and do this.
Yeah.
I mean, let's remember, Brock had an amazing wrestling pedigree, was a professional wrestler for 3-4 years at the highest level,
yep.
Then went to UFC. That transition out into wrestling, that's been a tough one. I mean, Ken Shamrock did it for a couple of years and left. And obviously, he still had a lot of fight left in him. He and Tito Ortiz, I think, helped bring UFC to where it is today.
Especially
for all those pro wrestling haters. That was a lot of WWE audience that came in at that point and goes, whoa, Ken Shamrock's going to fight in the UFC? Not even realizing anything happened before.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm always interested to see these guys. There's just a world of difference here in some of these setups. And for almost any of these other dudes, I just don't think... I don't want to discredit their thought process here, but I'm wondering with a guy like Phil Baroni if he understands the commitment that would actually be involved in something like that. Because Phil Baroni doesn't get to work part-time.
No. No,
he doesn't get to do that if he goes to WWE. And this is still, you know, they can work longer, obviously, because of what they're doing. But, I mean, this is still a young man's game over there. In the WWE.
Totally.
The guys that are old
in both of them
and around, you know, they've been around a long time. These are both young man's games. There's wrestlers that should be thinking about what they're doing after wrestling, too. So I'm always interested to see these guys. It's just we always hear this. We always hear this that these guys want to go or vice versa, and it just never happens. I mean, it's such a rare circumstance that puts them there or vice versa that I don't see it happening.
All right, well, we'll keep you abreast of that situation. And don't forget, Fox Sports 1 at 8 a.m. on Saturday. I'm kidding. Like 1 p.m. or whatever.
Well, is 1 p.m. the prelims?
Maybe. I don't know.
That's what I hate.
Fox Sports 1, Chad Mendez, Ricardo Lamas.
It is 15 hours.
It is this weekend. We will cover all of the winners, the losers, and what's happening on WOW Show. At WOW Show on Twitter, at WOW Show on Facebook. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you. It won't be next week. I will be gone next week for spring break, so it'll be the week after that. So
no show next week?
No show next week for the only time this year. So that will be the only break we take this year. So enjoy it. Go do something fun. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.